peace. This is Eugen Blackrock, an MC out of South Africa. The music that I make is always a reflection of my state of mind. In my life's journey, I feel like hip-hop's been a really close friend to me. It challenges me to go further. It inspires me to be at my best, and it pushes me to search inwards. This is the kind of energy and feeling that I want to pass on to whoever's listening and to whoever's tuned in.
This is Radio Freedom.
If you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything.
Come on! Listen, listen!
Planet Earth, planet rap. Planet Earth, planet rap. Planet Earth, planet rap. The only segment showing station in the hip-hop world playing the hip-hop world. In the hip-hop world playing the hip-hop world. With Nico and I'm Kilwan.
Hello and welcome to PEPR, Planet Earth, Planet Rap, Virtual World Tour Series, where we get a chance to have conversations with artists from all around the hip-hop world. My name is Amke Lwambekeni Kapane.
Yes, and my name is Mikko. It's very nice. This is a very nice project. I really like it because what we get a chance is like for over 11 years we've been doing PEPR as part of Chuck D's Andy Don't Stop Radio Show. But this is something that gives us a little bit of a chance to get a little bit deeper into a conversation with some of these great artists whose music we've been playing and supporting for best part of a decade many times. So it's really exciting.
Yes, yes. Oftentimes we get to hear more of the work of the artist, but this time we get some insight into who the people behind the work are, the artists themselves. And our next guest is Eugen Blackrock, all the way from South Africa, but currently in Spain. We had a wonderful conversation with her, reminiscing and just talking about her craft.
Absolutely. Eugen Blackrock is a really great artist, like music-wise. This is working together with Kanif the Chartmaster, who is the producer, who produces a lot of the music. And now they're based in Spain. Before that, they were in Marseille in France. But of course, originally from South Africa. And this, at times, is also a personal conversation because you guys share a little bit of a past, even though you have never really met or known each other, but you have walked the same streets.
Yes, it turns out we did go to the same school, and so we have the shared memories of that schooling experience. So that was wonderful. It was really good to be able to talk about the good old days and also catch up with what's happening now.
Absolutely. It's really great. It's really great to have these conversations. This is part of one episode of a thicker series during the course of this spring of 2022. So thank you very much for being with us. You know, let's get into it.
Yes.
That link between culture and language, it's so huge, because once you get to know a language, you've got more insight into the culture, no matter who you might have met from there or what you might have read and you know.
Yes.
Like here, I'm trying to learn Catalan.
Yeah.
And
the road is long with many a winding turn.
And I'm a big talker, you know.
I'm a big talker, so
I know I'm missing out on all these great conversations. There are all these interesting people around, and none of them speak English. So I'm like, I'm missing out. I know this dude or this person or this woman can tell me something.
And
you know,
you
it gets
could
so lonely.
Tell them something.
But it's nice.
I mean, the thing about it is that it's the expression. I feel like it's a handicap. Like, I want to talk. I want to communicate. I want to connect. Mm. So now if I have to do it in a language that gives me, like, the third grade version of who I am, I feel compromised.
Yeah. You don't express yourself in that way.
That's like, the thing.
Even in France, I think, when we first got there, I couldn't hear where one word started and when the next began. It's just like, it's just nice to hear the rap, you know. it's nice. No way else. You know, but then like after a while, you know, you get so lonely because I'm just having superficial conversations. Hello, how are you, you know? But when what I really want to talk about is like, how are you, like, how did you grow up, like, who are you really? I don't have the vocabulary here. I'm feeling limited. I'm feeling, you know. So after
exactly.
like a year or two, now when I can like sort of put together enough sentences to start a conversation. People I've known for 2 years, imagine. I'm only getting to know now, you know, now that we can actually converse. I'm just like so grateful. Like, it's not the best French.
it's good enough.
You know, some closer French. You can't escape the accent, you know?
It's like pigeon French and pigeon Finnish.
Listen, as long as they get what I'm trying to say, you know? But it's good. It's been really, really
good. Closer French.
Hey, girl. Yeah. It's something else.
I feel exactly the same way because the Finnish language is not the easiest. And for years and years and years, I've tried, but all I miss is being able to connect with somebody using words and the most simple thing that we take for granted.
And also, no, it's also a lot of people are then speaking English. Like, I think that even if you tried to speak Finnish here, then people are just going to respond in English. It's like, which is you know, it's not the worst problem that one can have, but if you want to learn.
And often it's the other person being polite, you know.
I know.
And sometimes you'll feel bad, like they're now struggling to understand me,
because
you know, as much as I'm struggling. I mean, not do it to them.
So you are in Spain now.
Yeah.
What's happening in Spain? Last time I think I heard you were in France. So what is happening in your world?
I like Spain a lot.
Yes.
To be honest. You know, a lot.
The I
love
vibe
both. Is great. The history, you know, the magic. Everything is wonderful here. Where I'm at, you know, I can't really speak for, you know, the whole country. But we're, you know, up on the mountain in a small village here. And I'm thinking,
really,
this could be like our base for a while, at least, you know. France has been good. The main reason we're there really is I like to be close to the team, and the team is an independent French label. So we've been in Marseille for about 2 years or so, and slowly trying to come across to Spain a bit. And so far, you know, so far so good. So we're just trying to settle, get a base, you know, a recording space, creative space, and then from here just see what we can do.
A little bit nicer weather.
Much.
Is it much nicer even? Because, I mean, you've been in the south of France, but, I mean, obviously, like when people say to go to south of France, maybe they don't talk about Marseille, but, you know, nevertheless, it's like...
You know, we include ourselves in there. You know, when you're in Marseille, you're like, yeah, even us, you know. but it's really nice, I think, also to just move out of the city.
Yes.
When we moved out of Johannesburg, it was already quite heavy. You know, I love the city. I love that particular one. But after some time, and my energy as well, you're trying to keep up all the time. Yes. You know, we used to joke with Kanif a lot, like a lot of his sounds. There's a very heavy, bassy moodiness that's there. And where we stayed there in Yeovil, it's like at like a crossroads, you know, like by Louis Porter, which is like massively busy. So there's a constant... in the air from the traffic.
Imagine, so you're constantly under that influence of this.
Yeah.
It's almost like static or something.
And sometimes you'll come out of it and be like, oh wow, it's actually quite noisy, you know. But the rest of the time you're not hearing it because it's so subtle, it's in the background, you know. And you'll notice it like when we're playing with certain sounds and this, and compare it to what's happening, and you know, you really become aware of your influences, why the sound is gritty like that. It's because we're in Yeovil, bro. You know?
It's in the air.
You know, it's right there. It's what we're living. It's what we're breathing. The conversations are around that, you know. When you're looking at dirt or pollution, or someone's burning tires at the corner of the street, you're aware of it. It's going to go into your work somehow because you're putting as much of yourself in it. So also, I'm a bit of a farm girl a little bit. You know, I like wide open spaces. I like that feeling, you know. So I guess moving from Marseille, just wanting a space that's quieter, you know, we're moving towards that as well, like listening to yourself more. So this is really where we're at. And maybe in my head, I want to do some rock star shit, like, yeah, I'm gonna make this album in Spain, you know.
I was thinking yes. That your next album is going to reflect, like, it's not gonna reflect that, yeah, that Johannesburg, you know, right. Like, it's gonna be like a mountain, like a clean mountain air. It's gonna be happy, serene, and chirpy, and
who knows? I mean, like, we're doing so much like work here. I mean, for the past 2 months, also, I've just been so psyched. I'm like, yeah, teaching my hands to do more than just hold pens and microphones. You know, we're doing like construction work and fixing walls and cement and floors and stuff like that, you know,
like building
DIY. So it's nice. So I'm maybe it might even come out super industrial, you know.
Yeah.
I've become hypnotized.
Yeah.
The sound
daily
of scraping
grind
on the walls. Yeah, girl, that's the daily grind, baby. Planetary grind.
Yes. And,
oh man, guys, it's so good to talk to you.
I know.
It's very good. It's very good to talk to you also. I mean, we met like a few years ago in Berlin, sort of by chance. And I was saying then after that, directly, I was saying to Tom Calvert that, look here, this is it.
It has happened.
And even then, it was after so many years also of just like a mutual respect and building. And really, really, it was really nice to see you that time. I remember I still had my yellow beanie. I miss it every time I look at that picture. Where did you go?
Would you say, like, talking about now, like Spain and France and all that stuff, would you say that for your kind of music there, it makes sense to be based in Europe? Is the audience, you know, for that kind of music more here? Or, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not elsewhere. I'm just saying that is this a strategic place, or is it like what makes it so?
I mean, the decision to come this side was a mixture of things. One, there was more attention coming from outside of South Africa, you know, like States, Europe, South America, Australia, around. There was no way I was going to be flying to all those places. And to come out, Berlin was the first place we went to, just because of the connections we made there. A funny story, like in 2015, I went to a concert, like an exchange concert in kind of vibe in Johannesburg. I was invited by Akua Naru, who I love.
Yeah.
You know, she's so dope.
Yeah.
So I went out to go meet her. And during that night, I met a rapper from Germany, Amel.
Oh, he's great.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. So we meet up there and he's like, hey man, I know your cats. I have this crew, blah, blah, blah. I know you through this guy, Clockwork, who's also another dope artist. You know, he plays the pads. So just through that meeting, hey, we're based in Berlin. If you guys ever come through, man, you know, come around, you've got peoples here. And this happened around the time where Kanif and I had been talking for some years about, okay, let's kind of go where the demand, not where the demand is, but go where the folks seem open.
Yes, you know? You have to gravitate towards what's pulling you.
Mm, and there's a bunch of things, like you don't want to get into the politics of things. You don't want to get jaded by how things are turning out as well. You know, we're making good music. I feel like, yo, we've got a good live act. Okay, so why is it that it feels like there's this glass ceiling here? You know what I mean? When it comes to album sales, we're shipping out to like Denmark, we're shipping out to all the States, to all these places. And then SA is like slowly catching up a little bit. Why? Because we're on the internet. We're not at Musica or any of these shops that need A, B, C, D up to Z for you to go in as an independent artist. We're not signed. We're not. So just on that vibe, I feel like in Europe as an independent artist, there's more access to things, there's more opportunities, there's more resources, much more than at home as an indie, you know? Mm. So to come out here was simply for that. Let's go find our people. Let's go find all these cats that bought all these CDs and stuff who are writing messages. And that's what you wanted. That's what I want as an artist, you know?
So
we came out here, you try to get these shows, and the more you play, the more people like your stuff.
And that's really where it's at, you know, in terms of politics. I'm like, I'm completely, you know, when we came here, I was completely new. You know, there's no big history. There's no this, there's no, you know, this person, you fought with that person or this and that, which is what this seems to happen, you know, a lot of hip-hop circles, industry circles, any field, really. Mm-hmm. And we're prepared to do that, to just see how far we can take it. You know, just go find your people. Like in SA, we have, like, we had a small following, smaller than now, but they were, like, really dope cats, you know, yes. And you know them. You know, these are the cats you're going to meet at the hip-hop session. And we played so many free shows. We had so many cats that were bigging us up that going outside of SA to anywhere, we felt like we could do it, you know. Oh, we can do this anyway. It doesn't matter. Just because of those cats, you know, and it's grown over the years. And maybe it took us coming via Europe to get some of that as well. Mm. I mean, there is a bit of strategy, but there's mostly just a love of adventure, you know, and a curiosity as well.
And new beginnings, something of a new beginning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, always. Always. You wanna see what you can do in a new space.
You wanna see who you are. How you come across, who you discover yourself to be in a new space. Because 100%. I think this is a time where a lot of people are rediscovering themselves anyway after the pandemic, because things have just sort of collapsed. So we are forced to reinvent or discover, rediscover, or even rebrand, whatever. A lot of people are taking an opportunity to do this because the zeitgeist. I think it's great timing to do something new. And then you have beginner's luck.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great way to look at it, girl. Yes.
I'm always looking for beginner's luck.
Oh yeah, you've just changed something. Oh yeah, what a great way to look at it. Yes.
That's really great. Also, like, I mean, of course, this continent, I mean, Europe, it's got its many flaws, but one of the things is true that these places are quite close to each other, especially sort of more in the continental. We're kind of like a little bit separate from the continental Europe as such, but you can kind of like jump into a train and go from like a one city to another country where they have a different scene and so on. So they kind of, there's many places to go. Whereas, I mean, we used to live in South Africa, of course. I'm always from South Africa and I used to also live there. And you have a kind of like a handful of bigger cities or towns, but it's a little bit still limited, and they are also quite far apart. So it's like there's a kind of convenience there, but I guess it will be good to be able to do like all different places and spaces.
Yeah. I mean, now that you're saying it, also because I often reflect on that. I mean, South Africa is a pretty big country, mm-hmm. and like you're saying, like the cities, a few. You'll have Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town. Maybe you'll add in Pretoria there. And then you've got a bunch of small towns and then like super rural areas and stuff. And, you know, that's when I got into hip hop, that's the exact kind of vibe that I was in. You know, it makes the seeking that much more worth it. You know, you're traveling to go somewhere, you know, and you go there and you meet folks who are just as hungry for hip hop. You know what I mean? And I mean travel, not just like physically taking steps. I mean, just to even get info, bro. You know, I remember being in high school and then my girls and I going to like CNA just to go peep the double XL and the sauce because it was super expensive and you couldn't afford
just
it with
to,
our lunch
just to
money.
Peruse.
You know, just to peruse. What you got? Like, who's the new artist? And also, like as far as like getting into the hip hop itself, you know, all these tracks are not even being played on radio anyway or on these music TV channels, so you never even know what your favorite rapper looks like, you know. So that kind of informed the kind of hip hop that I'm into, you know. I like the enigmatic, mysterious, dark. It's really all about the lyrics. I don't care what you dress like or what you look like, or, you know, it wasn't so image based. By the time I saw what RZA looked like, geez, man, you know. Okay, you know what I mean? it never mattered, you know. So I love that I came up like that, you know, in that environment. And I feel like it sharpened me as well, you know. Queenstown is not the hub of hip hop in South Africa, you know. It's not at all the hub. It's not the hub. I used to get so pissed off when folks were like, oh, you're from Queenstown. Oh, yeah, yeah, that time you blink and you miss it. Blink and you miss it.
I think for context, it has to be said for context. Those people who might be like listening and watching is that as far away as you both are from home, you have gone to the same high school, I suppose, even GHS. If different time.
No, yes. Really, girl?
I was in GHS.
Shut up. Queenstown Girls High School.
Girls High School. And I was in boarding school. When maybe you were a day scholar.
I was a day girl.
Yeah, were a day girl.
Day girl.
Going to the sessions with the QC boys.
I'm a two boy. Okay, we're going to have a talk after.
I know.
So if somebody's thinking that there's some kind of like synergy here, it's like
what?
It's more than just a Kosa thing.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you did more than just drive through my hometown.
I did more
you went
than
to school there.
I lived
on Frost Street. With the actual Frost. You can't even wear pants.
With our outdoor uniform.
Yeah, outdoor uniform. Jeez. Yeah. So this is the type of stuff that hardened me.
Yeah.
I'm getting about it. She'll tell you.
These are the streets that raised you.
You know what I'm saying?
The stories. I don't want to ask like triggering questions or anything like that. But do you feel homesick, Dek? Do you get homesick? It sounds like maybe, but I don't know.
I did the first year. Yo. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'd never been away from home for that long. Like I'd leave usually, maybe come out, we'd play, come out on a Schengen visa, be out for like 3 months, and then I'd be back, you know. So when we dropped Mysterium 2019, we left like pretty much around this week, 3 years ago, like 14th, 15th February.
Okay, the plan must have changed shortly after.
Yeah, so I've been really going through the memories now. Like, so when we left initially, I was like, okay, I'm out for 6 months. We're just going to do promo for this album and then I'll be back. And then boom, 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 you know, I'm extending my visa because it's going really well. We're getting all these bookings and then boom, COVID. And we're still here, you know. So that first year, it was tough to kind of figure it out. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know that homesickness could hit you that bad. Yeah. You know, at the same time, I didn't really want to go home because, you know, this was new to me as well and interesting, and I wanted to see, but I also miss my folks. But then I think we just made more of an effort, especially with my sisters, my brother and my mom. And we just made more of an effort to keep in touch. And my mom even got onto WhatsApp and all of this weird stuff.
That's what they do. They become technically savvy because of us.
You know? That really made me feel great. Knowing that I can talk to her, you know, the voice notes, the whatever, like keeping in touch, it keeps things in perspective. And also, the longer I stay here, the more I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not forever. In the beginning, the shock of not being at home kind of reigns over everything. You know, it taints how you see things. But now that I'm getting a bit more settled and I can see sort of what I'm doing, you know, then it's like, oh, yeah, okay. In December, we went, but for about a week or so, I didn't get to see these guys. Like on the day we're performing in Johannesburg, they discovered the Omicron variant, bloody blah. So it was like mad chaos. The whole world's shutting their borders to SA and bloody blah. And we're there and we're trying to go back and there's papers. And, you know, it wasn't what I wanted the visit to be, you know. But next time, better.
Yeah. What's really like mad thing, what we don't really realize so much is that in the last, it's like, I mean, well, it's not that long time ago when I lived in England and you were in South Africa. Like the communication, like these WhatsApps and things like that. You were just earlier saying that you were talking to your friend for 2 hours. I mean, that would have bankrupted everybody. Like I think the amount of money that we have spent on phone calls and text messages and things like that.
It was like, expensive to have a long distance relationship.
It was impossible.
In our time.
So expensive.
Yeah.
And now it would be like, well, you already have it on your phone.
Yeah, video call even. Come on, you know. Back then, you know, geez, man. Yeah, I mean, dude, I remember a time when you had to be at home. If your homie called you on the landline, you know. If you're not there, you missed it, you know.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
It required commitment. It really required commitment.
And you'd be standing right there by the phone because, you know, getting the 411.
I miss those times. Good times.
Yeah, it was a different times, but also it was they were not as good as I mean there were some downsides.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I would change, but you know.
Yeah, no. I'm happy for where we're at now, but also to know that, you know, like even just over the last 2 years or so with the you know. Celebrity news and, you know, a lot of folks passing away, you know, folks that we grew up watching maybe on TV or listening to and all of this stuff. It just really feels like the end of an era. Like, you know it until you're like, oh, man, what's life going to be like without this? Or what's life going to be like without that? And there's a lot of things, I guess, you know, missing my mom a lot. I do a lot of now thinking like, oh man, am I turning into her? you know how parents are always like, oh, you guys, you don't understand this and that. This is how it was, and you know, and it's just how life is. You know, it's advancement, it's evolution. It's unfortunately, also letting go of a lot of stuff. You know, you're grateful you had it or you had that moment in time. With that view, with that perspective, with things as they were, but then it changes, you know, everything changes. Oof. Yeah. So yes.
No, when did you become a rapper? Like how what was the moment when you turned from, I mean, I don't even know if you identify as a rapper, I mean, or MC or anything, but when was the time when you felt like you went from a fan of a culture into a participant of the culture or something?
Mm-hmm. I remember very well. up until just after high school, I'd just loved rap. You know, I'd watch the music videos, those that you could get, and I'd always liked it. But I'd never imagined I'd be doing any of this. You know, what I really wanted to do was be a B-girl. But yeah, the dancing skills, man, they weren't coming through, boy.
They made it, you.
Yeah, man, for real. My body betrayed me, man. I was like, I'm still upset to this day. But that's, I was into it, and I really just wanted a way of contributing to the culture as well. You know, there was that naivety. You know, like 18, 19, I'd written poetry like in my teens anyway, but I was always a shy kid. So I would never recite that stuff or whatever.
You were doing it behind closed doors.
So it was only like after high school, I think, I decided this is what I want to do. I want to find a way to kind of express myself here, you know. And, you know, I started just trying to turn some of the poetry into raps. It didn't really work so well. But, you know, I got it right eventually.
So you've always been writing, even as a younger person, and reading.
Yeah.
I imagine reading, because
yes.
First time I heard your work, I thought, what books do you read?
And it's anything. And it's really anything. I mean, like, I'm a sucker for, like...
The word.
You know, escapist. Yeah, like for words and just escapist stuff, you know, anything other than what I'm looking at physically right now, you know, I like that kind of stuff, imaginative people that can make you think differently, you know, about things you already know or you thought you knew. I really like that. Or folks that make you miss it. And you weren't even born in, you know.
Yes, like I know that nostalgia. Feeling.
And words yes. do that. You know, you're like, what? I'm you know, I'll be crying reading a book. I'm just so, I'm into it, you know. And the power of words themselves is just, it's undeniable.
It is.
You know, so even in school, like, I enjoyed English class.
Me too.
A lot, because we did like the literature and the poetry. And when you'd study all these poets and these authors and stuff, you know, I had great teachers as well who'd encourage you to think, well, what do you think this guy means when he says this?
Yes, yes.
You know, to not be comfortable being spoon-fed.
Yes.
You know, I like that kind of stuff. And so I write for people who like that kind of stuff as well, who like the challenge. Who play the same level 100 times, getting smacked, and get that one little win, and yeah, you know, folks who don't like to give up and see beauty in things and just make an extra effort. I like that I can contribute to that, because there's like already a world of these folks, you know, writing books, making movies, making music. You know, when I see dope art, I want to make dope art as well.
It inspires something great in you. Greatness inspires greatness in us.
Girl.
And meaning, like, I've been listening to your tracks and I've been thinking to myself, with art, they say the art reveals the observer, the person who's actually watching or looking at the thing, gives the meaning and interprets it. For you, when you write, do you write to yourself? Because when I speak sometimes, I'm speaking to myself too. I'm always aware of that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. Myself first, definitely, like, especially with the more grandiose, bravado, hip-hoppy stuff, you know, a lot of it also is aspirational. You know, it's the space that either I feel I'm in or feel I want to be in, you know, or a space I know even. And that I want to showcase in a certain way, you know. But I do write for myself, because also with the words being powerful thing, I'm learning, you know, also that you have to be aware of what comes out of your mouth. I mean, I've always believed that, but like more and more, the words that we chant add to our reality, you know. I don't want to be saying some negative stuff and just
create,
you know,
that.
It's just like wasting space. You know, I don't want to do that. I know that I can. I just don't want to. There's enough folks who can do that. They got it covered, you know. And the effort that I make, I won't use swear words. I'm sure I've used like a couple on my last album, blah. But, you know, stuff like that, if you can find the emotion to put in there, put the emotion in there. You don't have to.
Swear.
You know, not that I don't swear, I do swear in real life. I just make an effort, you know what I mean? Just make an effort
saying,
for that.
Yeah, my mom was saying the other day, umlomo uyadala, like the mouth creates.
Yes, the mouth creates.
So that's
yes.
why we have to be very conscious and very deliberate about the stuff that we say, especially as creatives.
100%. And then you have someone who likes what you've done and they're chanting what you said over and over. Like, nah, man. First of all, I'm the one who's going to have to be rapping these songs like 50 times. You know what I mean? Over and over. Can I at least like what I'm saying?
I think so.
Can what I say, like, build me, like, and often it does do that for me first. Like, I was saying to Kanif the other day, you know, like, on here, and the energy is high for me to make a studio, creative space, blah. And if I'm not rapping for like months at a time, I get sick, you know, I get sick. If I'm not right, I'm sitting with all this stuff and I'm just in a whack space, man, you know, and I can feel it because I'm fed up with myself. So I can imagine whoever I'm chilling with is fed up with me, you know. Just go outside and just rap, bruh. Just turn the beats up mad loud and get all that energy out, because words are just words, you know. It's you that, like, the breath that gives them life.
Life.
You know, I'm saying it. So what am I saying? Wow. Yo, you know, I'm saying the sun is golden. I don't know, but, you know, I'm saying something. you know, and it works for me. I feel good after I say all that stuff. And after I write, my, well, is it true? It rings true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still true for me. I'm going to perform this, or I'm going to do this. And I need for all those times on stage to feel the same way that I did when I wrote it, be it 5 years later or 2 years later.
Mm.
You know, that same emotion, I want to tap into it. Because, you know,
that's why I thought about like artists who are making songs about very difficult experiences, and it can be a really great way, I'm sure, to go through, to just deal with the matter, whatever it is that you've had to go, that is difficult. But then if it becomes like a hit song or a fan favorite, you find yourself having to like live through that emotion, that experience, like, and if not, like, people are going to like boo you off the stage if you're not like going through a trauma again and again and again, and it's like, that's not great either, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. And I mean, I have some artist friends who, oh man, I have to do this song again. But it's such a great song. Yeah, but, and I get it, you know.
Because it transports you back to that place.
Mm, or some who refuse to perform the song, period, you know, because I guess maybe writing the song was that, you know, cathartic, therapeutic process for them. And once they've done that and it's recorded, it's out, maybe they don't, yeah, man, it's art, you know. I guess it can't all be one way, you know, it can't all be, you know, all this positivity, you know, we're complex creatures.
The human experience is complex.
Yeah.
But you have a very sort of like interesting sound. You were already talking about it, of course. You have been, I think every, like, well, I was just thinking about it because we were playing your music in the show, the new song in the show just last week, and we're talking. Yeah. I think that Kanif, the chat master, has produced every song that I have ever heard from you. Is that true? Have I heard? Except the one on the Black Panther soundtrack. But yes. I think that everything else is a
most
kind
of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. Most of them, yeah. I mean, he's my favorite person to work with. He makes music I want to rap on. I mean, it's an easy connection, you know? Also, that rarity of having someone to make beats for you, who knows you that well, that they can do that for you, is something that I'm always grateful for. I dig working with him. I also work with other folks as well. The same thing with him as well. But definitely my favorite person to work with.
How would you like, and then combine that with your lyrics and everything, the delivery and all that, and it's a very, this kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, it's a kind of a magical sound, it's a kind of like, takes you to a whole different like place and realm, and
it's cosmic.
Yes it's got a whole different dimension. How would you like, how, like was that something that kind of like, is that something that is essentially you, and of course his work is his work, but is that something that you guys are like, is that the authentic you, or is it like a, how did that come about? Like, was it always like that?
I think that's what connects us as well. The subject matter in my lyrics is stuff that I'm interested in, and it's stuff that Kanif is interested in. So these conversations, we can talk, and then I can go think of something, and, you know, or even just on my own personal whatever I'll write. But yeah, I think with the whole Iapetus squad, really, it's that connects us, you know, this interplanetary being, you know, this presence, the moment, everything, you know, the future, the past, the time not being linear, quantum physics, everyone is kind of interested in everything, the astronomy. So when the whole crew's together, all of these subjects are being talked about by everybody, you know? So this is like the collective that I'm sort of coming out of. You know, these are folks that I met and we clicked because of that. So even with the distance and, you know, the kind of break right now, you know, it's something that Kanif on his own is about. It's something that I on my own am about. And even the friends that I pick, are interested in the same stuff I'm interested in. So the lyrics are just our conversations in art form, I guess. My thoughts, it's what we're about. It's how we think. It's how we see things. Like even light and sound, the relationship between the two. The whole point of me making music with Kanif is an exploration of that, you know? Your shadow self, your light self. What do you do when you're at your best? So everything is there, from the books that we're reading to the movies that you're watching, whatever martial arts you're into, or, you know, evolution, you know, putting the best in to try and get the best out. So we try to do that in all aspects, whether it's the writing, the art side, or you're trying to figure your way around the business side of it. Just that, how does this fit into what I believe?
Yeah. You use the word connect so many times because it's paramount, right?
Yo, girl. Yes. Ne? It's the one word I'm willingly, yes. Like, I willingly overuse.
Me too.
Because
I like it.
I can't see beyond it. Like,
because also
no connection.
Yes, I was thinking to myself, even when you are putting out music for those to receive, you have to have a connection to yourself. And so that they are able to connect to something in you, or
yes.
Resonance.
Mm. Well, I couldn't have said it better. That's with it.
That was the answer.
With it. Yeah, that's the one I'm getting. That is the one. Yeah, I maybe it's a Libra thing, you know. Seventh house of the other. Like I am at my best when I'm with someone, you know. I need that partner. I need a sounding board. Hey, what do you think? I'm there, you know. Of course I know what I think, but it's always nice to hear somebody else's perspective on things.
I wanted to go back to Marseille, to France for a bit. So how did this connection, we're talking about connection again, and it is this way, how did this connection come about? Like how did you find them? How did they find you? How did you guys find each other? What is that setup? I'm just saying, before you say anything else, it's very impressive, like what they're doing, in that sense that everything is very beautiful, like music videos, everything is like something like really great, that everything that I have seen has been quite, you know, interesting and special.
Yeah. And it is a connection. The our very first tour in Europe, like 2016, we came up, played a couple of shows in Berlin, and then we got an offer to play a show in France, in Marseille. And we knew nobody there, but we're really interested in the hip hop scene there and trying to find out, you know. Often you go to a city, you sort of go through the tourist experience, you know, until you kind of get to know the city, where to go and to find what you're looking for. So when we went to Marseille that very first time, we met the guy who runs the label we're working with now. We didn't know any of this at the time. And he was really nice. At the time, they'd signed Dukum. I don't know if you remember these guys.
Yeah, Deep Planet. Deep Planet on
production. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I remember thinking then, like, oh, man. We need to get our stuff together, because I was like, oh man, look at them. They're 20-day tour. Oh, I was a little envious. Yeah. But I was like, oh man, because we're doing ours completely by ourselves and struggling. So a few years later, after we'd met Emmerich there, a few years later, he wrote to me and said, hey, are you working on anything? We'd like to make you a proposal. And you know, so I thought, okay. I don't know how I feel about it. You know, we'd already been working on the album, Kanif and I, and I knew that I wanted us to release it differently to how we'd release our other stuff, you know. I do feel like, you know, I like trial and error, you know, the scientist in us just jumps out like that, like, okay, what can we do with this one? You know, let's partner up with folks who can sell the music as well as we can make it. You know, we'd spread ourselves quite thin with the first album, you know, and, you know, we gave it our best shot and it worked out really well, but we just wanted to see what more we could do. So that was just the reasoning for it. Like, okay, let's partner up with these guys and, you know, see how it works out. It took time. We got to know each other. You know, they got to understand what we're about. And by the time we presented it, I mean, I think from our side, also coming from that independent side, you want to make sure that it's just you. You know, there aren't any pressures, there aren't any, hey, you need to meet this and that criteria. So we gave them a full project to work with. Mm. We had the visuals in mind, the aesthetic behind it, what we want the album to be about. And they came on board, obviously they liked, and, you know, they pushed it, and they made an effort as well to kind of learn how we communicate, learn where we're coming from as well, and work with it. Not try and take over and you know, all these horror stories, man, make, listen, when it comes to like labels and industry stuff, I'm the most, you know, cautious kind of person, man. You know, like all the stories we heard were from hip hop cats, because these are the guys who came and spoke out about how unhealthy industry is, you know. So I often do feel like, yo, man, if you're not doing your research, if you're not up to date on what you need to know, it's gonna be on you. You've heard every story there is out there. You've got the internet. Find out what all this stuff means, and, you know. So yeah, we're navigating, you know, slowly, but I'm really enjoying working with them.
There's a lot of the types of talk about like this big major kind of corporate labels and how they are, or the companies, how they are, how they have their corruption and how they are like doing everything in their power to sort of like trying to ruin all the fun in art and music and culture. But that's one thing. But then it's not like all the everybody on their sort of independent side is somehow angels either. It can be a very ruthless world.
No, I mean, I think they're the same. Mm-hmm. I think they're the same, just one smaller version of the other. They want the same thing, both of them. They're just operating on different scales, is what I think, and also what I'm learning as well. Because what we had as a collective, you know, it was all heart. It still is. IAPIDAS is all heart. It's all artists, and we're just helping each other navigate the world. Really, you know, everybody's helping out on somebody else's project. So when you're now working on some industry stuff, it's not all heart, it's percentages, and this is my share.
Yes.
And often you'll find that, like, the people you entrust with your music, to exploit your music, now all of a sudden they can't see the line between exploiting your music and exploiting you. Mm-hmm. You know, these are dangers, and they are common.
Yeah,
common, man. It's sharks. As soon as industry's in, we're talking about money now. It's not all heart. It's not all, hey, you know, peace, love, and happiness, and all of, you know.
None of that.
So you really do have to do your research.
Yeah, early on.
You have to know what you want and be prepared to say no and have nothing for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it
earlier on, we were talking to Major One from Singapore, and she was talking about how she signed one bad deal. And after that, it was almost catastrophic, the extent of how much she was done wrong. But then again, you know, she learned the hard way. So there are these horror stories. Does one develop like a thick skin, or what must one have? Like, you must understand the business and not only just be talented.
Yeah.
Are you studying the pie charts now?
Never. Only thing I'm doing with pies is eating them. You know what I'm saying? No. But I mean, I did grow up, like, my mom ran a butchery from as long as I can remember, you know. She was a teacher at some point, and when my grand passed, she ran a butchery and put us all through school and all of this stuff. So the customer service, so I know a little bit about, you know, the supply, demand, and all of the tactics, and getting people and advertising and all of this stuff. Like, I've also done some courses in this and that, you know, just to up my knowledge on the business that I'm going in. I did like an advertising course, you know, because I want to see through everything. Yeah, I want to see all, through all the tactics, you know, little design here, little labor law there, a little bit, you know, economics, a bit of business management, just this and that, you know, things that I feel like can, you know, I'll use, and I'm using it now, you know.
You're equipping yourself.
And yeah, and I'm learning, and I'm learning. And the biggest thing, I think, is to not beat yourself up over mistakes, man. You know, like, yeah, you know, do your research and all of this stuff, but you're not going to cram all this stuff that people have spent years and years studying for, you know. I think the most important thing is to have a team that you trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really, is to have a team that you trust. Your team can be one person. It can be whatever. But to have that is paramount, because often you'll be second-guessing everything. You know, especially if you're coming into an industry that you don't know, you know. I'm glad that I'm not doing stuff alone, you know, from the jump. Kanif had my back there, who saw Tay, rest in peace, had my back, Robo, the whole IAPLA squad had my back for whatever I wanted to do. Oh, I need a loan for this because I want to do that, and I want to go there, and I want to do this. They had my back. So by the time, like, I'm meeting up with folks who, hey, we want to sign you because, hey, Black Panther, blah, blah. Because that's what folks are going to see. You know, they you know, folks aren't running after me before then. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But as soon as, so that immediately lets you know that, okay. Oh, I'm in the industry. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Black Panther.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
I was thinking to myself when we earlier mentioned Black Panther, and I thought to myself that was like a high moment for Xhosa-ness. And
I'm not even going to say anything.
You're supposed to say everything. That's the nature of things.
It did the thing it was supposed to do.
It did the thing, right? It was like the language itself was elevated.
Yeah.
And did your being umXhosa, and I bet it did, because they say when you are born, Xhosa, umXhosa is born in you. Your being umXhosa, did it influence how you got into that soundtrack?
No.
It was just coincidental.
I don't even know how they found me. Dude, I don't even know how they found me. Like, dude, to this day, I don't know how they found me, those guys. Even, like, when Soundwave was hitting me up, I went and just, like, double-checked. Like, is this, are you sure? Okay, cool, you know? And the amount of secrecy around the project, there wasn't that much that I was going to know anyway. Even when I did ask, which I did, you know, also, what's the song for? You know, kind of like give me an idea, you know, so I can write something for it. You know, I would hate to be off topic. You know, like, come through. Nix, guys, like, it was so cryptic that I'm just like, okay, let me just do what I want, you know, which of course is what, some sci-fi something and Star Wars references and all the, you know what I mean? It worked in retrospect when I think about it. I'm like, okay, it totally worked. You know, that's the realm it was in. It's a really strange thing, but I'm really glad with how everything turned out.
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to think of that film, like Black Panther. That's like one of the biggest films maybe it's the biggest film in general. I mean, I'm not really that much of an expert on that field, but it was like a huge, huge hit, and everybody's like, you know, I've seen it. It's the only ever superhero, whatever, this kind of film that I have seen, because I don't really see what's that kind of stuff, but I did see that, and it was like this big cultural moment that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like it kind of like started defining you? Because in your career, it was a kind of like, of course, it was like a big event. It was kind of like a, you know, like a peak in that way. But that wasn't, if people think that this is who you are, this is your kind of career.
This is your sound.
It's like a 5 minutes of your years of art.
I get what you're saying. Okay, no. At first, I'm like, no, you cannot define. The closeness was there already. No. No, that's not what you're asking. No. No, look, man, even when I wrote that verse, I was so into my own stuff that it was like a palate cleanser. It's like, let me do some quick, fun stuff, really, that I probably would never put on my album. And if I'm honest with you, when I wrote that verse, I was like, oh, man, I'd never even rap on this beat, man. Oh, man, they're going to trash this thing. I'm just hoping maybe they're just going to send it back on a different beat or send me another beat. I was so over it, like, you know, because it's quick, man. It's just like, it's what anybody would read. Okay, maybe not anybody. I just got my
side. Yeah, I think you are kind of like, you know, speaking yourself down. Don't do that, please, because we would not have written that.
But I mean, it wasn't some super intense, like, that's what I like to do, you know. So even for me, that was a challenge, to not be sitting with the script for like 3 days and, but this line, throwaway line, I'll never see that, it's whack. You know, I just... And let it out like that. And for me, it was like, no, what if I wake up tomorrow and it's whack? Because that's how I go with my stuff. I'll be really in it. And the next day I wake up, I'm like, this is whack, and I trash it. Or I rework it up until I feel like, yeah, I'm proud of this, you know. Yes. So with that, it was...
Yeah, another thing that was sort of a space where people might also have seen you, those kind of people who haven't necessarily followed your career, such as the Color Studios thing. It's like I think it's Berlin based. I mean, you can tell more about it. It's that where the background is always like a one sort of single color, and you got the microphone, and there's been all kinds, but it's always usually quite interesting artists that are there. How did you end up being part of that project?
Also, I don't know how they found me. Hit me up on Instagram.
You're just walking the streets and things happen.
You know, like, and it's stuff that I wish for. I really wish for, like, Ben at the label is like, hey, do you know Colors? I'm like, yeah, dude, I wish I could go there. Like, 2 years, I watch all the videos, they're so... And then it says, oh, there's a submission form here. Let's try, you know. Oh, really? Oh, put in the details and then no answer, you know. So, like, forgot about it until I got, like, a DM. Like, hey, we've been trying to contact you and trying this email and not getting, I don't know what happened. You know, they clearly didn't get my submission, but they must have heard something, you know, because they went out and said, hey, would you be interested in? I said, yes, of course. And I flew to Berlin. And we recorded it, and, you know, and that was that. And it's so good. They're so cool. Like, it's really dope working with people who are passionate about what they're doing, you know, and they just want to kill it. You know, it just gives you that same energy. And I was there like, having a tough time there because I'm pretending like I'm not stressed because it's green screen, you know. Trying not to look cross-eyed for the camera. But yeah, it really, really, I enjoy those experiences, really. That's really nice. And also, just to get back to your question before about the Black Panther defining me and stuff, in fact, I felt like, man, there's a whole bunch of people coming here expecting... You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're going to be disappointed. You know? So this was my whole vibe. Like, I was excited to see, like, what's going to happen. And really, the folks that were into that kind of thing, they checked it. Okay, she's not about that. And they're out about their business. But the folks that stayed were so happy to find other material that I'd made, which was... you know, completely different, and I guess in line with what they like, you know. So even in that situation, I feel like it worked out for me better than I could have imagined, man. You know, it's great promo, if anything, you know, and any artist does want to be heard by as many folks so they can find their folks. You know, out of 100 people that listen to you, it'd be dumb to think like 90 people are gonna like me. That's ridiculous, you know. I'm more of a 7 out of 100 type of girl, you know, like, I'm not for everybody. And I like that, you know, I like that, because the people that like my stuff, I generally usually like them, you know.
Yes, there's that connection. It's connection, there's resonance. Yes, and I like what you said. I was listening to one interview you did with Mzia, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
And you were saying you don't have to be a hip-hop head to appreciate hip-hop. And
yeah.
I was hearing this for the first time from a hip-hop artist. Because in Cape
yeah.
Town, when you go to a hip-hop gig, everybody is a hip-hop head.
Yes.
It's almost like there are barriers to entry to people who aren't.
Entry-level exam.
Yeah, are you hip-hop enough to be here?
Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah. Name all the members of the Wu-Tang.
Yeah, you. But also, hey, yeah. If you came up on hip hop at that time, that's exactly how you got into it. Like you'd get quizzed to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's. I mean, I guess hip hop itself has a bit of that elitist
yes,
kind of vibe
about
it. Very
tad.
You know what I mean? Oh, you know hip hop, huh? Recite me anything, my fellow heart. Oh, you know anything? Name me three tracks by this person, and often I'd have to, you know, because also these are cats that you dig. You wanna hang out with them. They've got all the good music. You know? I'm trying to hear this stuff, you know. Yeah. So I'd be there cramming there, like, you know, just listening. Okay, that's okay. No, that's Master Killer's voice. All right. Okay, cool. Next verse. Okay, that's so and so. You recognize. You're learning each person's voice, and by doing that, you're learning how important a voice is, how important originality is in hip hop as well. So, yeah, man, it's just a different era now. It's a complete mm-hmm. different era.
Yeah, and it, yeah. At the time, I think people were listening to albums in a whole different way. I mean, what you are what you are saying is that you were studying their verses, their flows, all these different things. Maybe you
yeah.
were doing it for kind of wrong reasons because you wanted to reach the level of authenticity amongst your peers that they would accept you as one
of
them. But at the same time, you were studying the source material.
Mm. And also, I was a believer in it. As much as it was boring, that was the energy of it. Go out and learn, you know? Go out and learn. Learn those guys, De La Soul, all of these cats that came before you. What, you're an MC, you don't even know all these cats that paved the way, you know? Hip-hop didn't start off like this, you know what I mean? Now it's on everything. It's pop as hell, you know what I mean? Anybody can do it, and you know, there's an energy to it. There's a militance to it. There's beauty in a voice that has something to say. You know what I mean? And as long as I'm doing hip hop, that's how I'm doing it, because that's the hip hop that I like. That's how I learned it. It doesn't matter if you learned your hip hop from Drake and Wayne. Go ahead with it. You know, but this is how I learned it, and so this is how I'm gonna do it. You know, I hated the stuff, but I liked it. You must know. It also encouraged that kind of thing with everything else. Studying and learning and all this stuff, it's not easy. You know, when you're growing and you're learning, it's hardly ever, ah, ha, 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 well, I'm having a great time. I'll never do that again. No, you're usually crying when you say that. I'll never do, you've learned your lesson, you know. Sometimes you just got to stop being lazy and just learn. Learn these things so that you don't have to suffer later. You know, come on, dude. You know, it helps to know things.
It does.
It really, like, you just know a little bit about everything. You don't have to know a lot, Miss Super, just a little bit about everything. You know, master one thing and know a lot about, you know, a little bit about everything else.
Speaking about it helps to know things, like the first time I listened to Return of the
Astrogoth
and Slow and Steady Wins the Race, I was thinking to myself, how do you channel? It sounded like it was channeled. I was like, I think she sits down, meditates, and goes into a deeper space, and there's a download.
Download. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you're a conduit. It's because, of course, your work has that otherworldly quality about it. That I immediately wondered, who are her spiritual mentors? Who was influencing her in the land of the living and the ones who are in the invisible?
The great beyond. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I've learned through reading, obviously. And like a lot of my work is influenced by I don't know how I can say it. I guess the thing that fascinated me as a kid, I've kind of gotten close to touching them, you know, the unseen magic and people who talk about these things, because it's not a subject that's easily approached, you know. And also growing up in a family where, you know, certain things are taboo just culturally, you know, and kids are inquisitive. So all these kind of, no, don't ask about that. No, don't. And it was often spiritual stuff. It was often things that were unspoken or unseen, things that are just known by everyone. But when you ask why, there are no answers, you know. There's that. And folks that write about that, they're like credo mutua.
Yes.
I remember reading like short stories in Drum, and it was the first time I'd read like stories like that from an African perspective. Mm. Pretty much like the equivalent of the tortoise and the hare. You remember that story, right? Mm. And he'd had all these stories like how the giraffe got to be a giraffe and all these things. And they were crazy, and it was totally not biological or scientific at all.
Yes, otherworldly.
Yeah, and that's what fascinated me, because, you know, you go to school and you learn this, this, and that, but then there's all this stuff which also makes sense, but you can't prove it. You know, I like that kind of stuff. I like writers who just push their minds to the limits. William Burroughs is one of my favorites. Also, he's weirdly twisted and, you know, imaginative mind. Just this kind of things, you know. At some point, I'll tell you, RZA was one of my masters. He doesn't know it, and I doubt he ever will, but he was that guy. For a while, you know, you want to read whatever he's reading, that kind of stuff. You know, why did he say that like that? You know, is it because of where he's from? Is it accent? Is it an experience? I have a lot of masters, I think. Like, a lot of people teach me things. Like watching someone on stage, the Dynasty, D.Y., she took me on tour with her in 2016. And, you know, as dope as I thought I was also, like, quite aware of my insecurities about being myself on stage, or, you know, just remnants of that old, you have to be a certain way if you're a hip hop, you know?
Yes.
And I think meeting her and just vibing with her and getting to know her and learning how she handles her business, her art, and herself just showed me another way to do things. You know, I think those were the last remnants of, you have to do this to be that, you know. From there, I just felt like, yeah, man, girl, you are a master at what you do. You know, I respect. Thank you for teaching me this. You know, often I meet folks with that who give me something that I'll carry on for years, stuff they've even forgotten. But I'm like, yo, like Asanda Msaki. Asana, calling her by a government name, Nsaki, she's a singer songwriter from South Africa as well, and I met her in East London like maybe in 2012 or 2011, and I'd never played with a live band before at this time. And where we were set up, there was a bunch of guys, and they were gonna play the beats, you know, live. And of course, you know, kind of stuff, blah, blah, and they couldn't play none of that stuff. So it was really just like this weird rendition of things, and I didn't know how to handle it, you know, how to direct folks. But then I saw how she did it, you know, during her sound check. I'd already done mine, and she'd literally stop, and I'd still had, you know, also still some of that cultural, it's these older folks playing, and it's difficult to say, hey, Baba, please just slow down, eh? You know, how to take command. You know, and I'm feeling like outnumbered, and I'm you know, I'm doing that weird insecure thing. I'm a woman. And she just went on about it, and she was an artist. There's no gender politics. There's no cultural, no, hey, this is my music. Mm. Play it like this, huh? And he did. And it blew my mind, you know? And I was like, yo, the day I play with a live band, oh, man. And to this day, you know, when I play, I'm confident. I know that I'm talking to a musician. You know, slow down the tempo, or your guitar's too loud, or I can command that. I'm not apologetic about anything. And big up, man. Yeah, I'm just feeling really grateful. Thanks for that question. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always an interesting thing, because of course they are musicians and they also want to play it right. Like, I mean, they don't necessarily know what you mean, but they want to do it right. They want to do justice to it. It's interesting to me how hip hop is oftentimes thought about and seen as this very arrogant. There's an inclination to arrogance and kind of like cockiness and that kind of. And there is that kind of combative aspect, of course. I mean, in this kind of battling is part of the culture. There's that and all that. But and it's kind of like a feature. But the more I talk to artists, the more I notice that humility is very hip hop. Like the most interesting artists have that humility. Usually, those are kind of flash in the pan. They come and go very quickly. The ones who are just, oh, I'm the best ever. That's very boring. I mean, they might have, you know, a song, nice song to, you know, or two, but it doesn't seem to be like a long road.
Yeah. I also respect artists who show humility, man. You know, they remind me, one, to check myself as well and not let my head get too big, you know. And I think that having humility will get you far, man. You know, it's easy. You know, your brain will betray you, boy. You know, it really will. You'll get shine, or however these cats do, and they really start thinking it's them that's doing this. You know what I mean? It's me. It's all me. Not see the people that are working to make all this stuff happen. Which is really what I think, you know, all that arrogant stuff, man, it sounds great in the raps, in the rhymes, and on a nice beat. But in real life, if you're out treating people like that, then you're not going to go far. Or maybe you're not even going to go somewhere worth it. Maybe you're going to go far, but just not somewhere we want to be, you know?
Wrong direction.
In the wrong direction.
Yeah. I like that. I like that also, because there's a tendency for people to create barriers between themselves and artists, you know. Mm-hmm. Are you an artist? You're there, you're on stage. I don't know how you do this. It's supernatural. No, it's a human being, you know, with some ideas. You know, they write really good, or they paint really well. They do it just as well as you do your accounts or whatever you do at the medical practice. It's like that, you know? And so when someone shows that aspect, humility being one of the best things you can do, it's just to destroy that little gap there, to bring folks closer, to see the human element of the body. How I like to view artists is, hey, here's a human being who knows how to do these really nice things. And that's that, you know, they're not operating under different laws from me or anybody else. It's a human being who does the stuff, and it's great because it's a spiritual work. It makes me feel good. It makes whatever, you know, it's art, but it's made by human beings who are often very flawed.
That's
and they're
very
doing
true.
What they're doing. They're doing what they're doing. They're doing what they love, and they do it really well.
Yeah.
Because they love it.
Because they love it.
Thank you so much. This has been really great.
Thank you, guys. Oh, man. I really feel like I'm chilling in the room with you guys.
I know.
There's a nice silence. I'm like,
This has been Planet Earth Planet Rap Production, PEPR, the Virtual World Tour Conversation Series.
We are powered by rapstation.com and RSTV app, which you can find and download from www.rstvapp.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram as @PEPR Radio.